I want to recapitulate and kind of diagrammatically represent some of the points that I brought up yesterday, because I think it would be useful for the exercise that we would do together. So this is kind of how I picture what I was talking about yesterday. So you have like the, okay, how do you spell status?
S-T-A-T-U-S.
T-U-S?
Yeah.
Okay. You have the status quo, whatever that may be, a secular status quo or Krishna conscious status quo. You start with that, and then you have the questions that start to disrupt the status quo, like a vexing of the spirit that starts to disrupt the status quo. And so we were speaking about the importance of questions, and also, let me make this circle, the quest implied in every question. Right, I was making this point yesterday. Mm-hmm. The question is what happens within us, and the quest is what happens outside. And the question is like the eye that has the potential to see. But the quest is like the sun that activates the potential. So questions without quest do not reveal answers that are satisfying and give an answer to the vexing that comes from these questions. We also indicated that the questions are themselves a sense like an incarnation of divinity to disrupt the status quo. The reason we get this idea from Srimad Bhagavatam, so you may be knowing, the Srimad Bhagavatam starts with six questions. And the second of the questions is the sages, they're asking that, you know, scriptures, there are so many scriptures. And in each of the scriptures, there are so many sadhanas recommended. And in those sadhanas, there is division, so many parts of the sadhanas. So this is very confusing. Isn't it? You agree to that? This is very confusing. Even devotees, every class you'll say, they'll say these 5 points. Next class comes, these 10 points. Next class comes, these 3 points. I'm like, bruh, I can't follow so many points. Just tell me chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Okay, who can follow so many points? So like the scriptures have, there's so many sadhanas, so many divisions of the sadhanas. So they ask Sudha Goswami that you should give an answer that will be Atma supersedity, that will satisfy the Atma, satisfy the mind, the intellect, and ultimately the spirit soul. So the questions they say, the answer should satisfy the Atma. So when Sudha Goswami begins to answer, that was, I don't know what the verse number is. Oh, I think I do. This was asked them 1:1:9. And they said that whatever answer you give should be easy for us to understand. Because in the age of Kali, we are generally short-lived. But even if we live for a long time, we are dull-headed. Lazy. Is that the comment?
Lazy.
Lazy. Lazy means lazy for the right things. We're very enthusiastic for a Beyonce concert or something like this. Well, not devotees, I would hope. But we're very active for things that are not useful for the spirit, but we are very lazy for the spirit things. And even if we are not lazy, we are dull-headed. Which one comes second? Anyway, yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Sue Mandimati, so bad. Yeah, dull-headed.
Dull-headed.
Really
means that not so much brain to understand anything. And even if we have brain to understand everything, we are unfortunate because we don't have the association of genuine saintly persons. And even if we have the association of genuine saintly persons, we are always disturbed. So while the class is going on, some disturbance is going on inside, so you're not hearing anything. That happens, right? Maybe it's happening now, so.
Not right now?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're very generous. But sometimes it's like this class is going on, and inside you, and then the speaker suddenly shakes you out of that and says, are there any questions? Everyone is quiet. You have no questions. God always disturbs. So, or Sri Vishnu says, or we are all these things together. So we have very big difficulty. So the sages said, whatever answer you give should be easy because of this problem, and it should satisfy the Atma, Atma supersedity. So when Sudha Goswami begins to answer the question, so he starts to answer the question we were hearing yesterday by glorifying the question. So this is 1:2, I think it's verse 5. And he says, what to speak of the answer to this question? He says, the question itself gives Atma supersedity. or to speak of thee, answer the question, because the questions are Krishna Mangala. I don't remember the verse, 1, 2, 5. I just remember. Because the questions are about God, it's about divinity. The question itself gives Atma supersedency. What to speak of the answer? And then after that, he says, Savai Pumsa Paro Dharma. You should do pure devotion because that gives Atma supersedity. So here, the question itself is considered like non-different from that realm. Huh? The realm that will completely satisfy the Atma, that realm has ascended into the status quo as a question that's vexing the spirit. And it's connected to that reality, basically. So you can think of this like, okay, I don't know how to represent this. This is Krishna. I need a...
That's not right. Yeah, you need a new one.
This pen isn't very good. We don't have any other ones though, do we?
Put the cap on while you talk.
Huh? Put the cap on while you talk?
Yeah.
Is it? It's like a little bit on the top. And it's
yeah, I can even get it wet for you if you want.
Oh, okay. This is Krishna. Threefold bending form. 1, 2, 3. So it looks like a lightning bolt also, right? This is useful for what I meant to say. So this Krishna has incarnated as this question. That was very good, right? Krishna has come because it is the same quality. This question is the same quality of that realm that will give Atma supersedity. Mm-hmm. Right? Only by devotion to that Lord will you get Atma supersedity. And Sudha Goswami says the question will give Atma supersedity. So this question is of the same substance as that realm. That's why it disturbs the status quo, because Krishna is very good at that, disturbing the status quo. This is good, no? This was very good representation. Isn't it? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. So you have the question and you have the quest that's implied. I was using this language yesterday, the journey of return. Right, I like this, the journey of return. But there's like a threshold to be crossed. I'm going to put it like this. A threshold to be crossed. The way I was articulating it very poorly yesterday is the threshold represents home base. Insofar as home is where we feel comfortable, where we feel everything is provided, everything is very easy, everything is familiar, it is the known realm, et cetera, these sorts of things. And so I was giving one verse yesterday. Now I'll give two verses. But I was giving a verse from Prahlad Maharaj. Hitvatma patam griha andakupam. This first verse he says to his father when his father asks, what is the best subject that you learned in school? So he says something very irritating for Hiranyakashipu. Hitvatma patam griha andakupam. He tells his father that you should give up the house, which is like a blind well, andakupam. Andakupam means some well that has grass over it. You fall inside and you might die. You're likely to die. We don't have blind wells in... We don't even know what a well is in the States. But in India, you can see. I've seen a few. He says that this home causes the degradation of the soul. Atma patan. Now, usually the home... It sounds a little bit off-putting. But the word home also can represent the material body. Sometimes the body is discussed as a home. The whole world of samsara is sometimes described as a griha. Then you have the actual griha, sometimes symbolic of these things. But the way we were using it yesterday is the griha represents here the home base, the place, the threshold that you're not crossing over because it's comfortable, it's familiar, and so on. This time I'm using the word griha. So that griha is atmapatam. It causes a degradation of the soul because you're not allowing the purpose for your existence to flower. Because you're not prepared to cross the threshold that will allow that to flower, that flowering to take place. You're not pursuing the inner agitation that is telling you to cross the threshold. And so you stay at the home base and you experience atmapattam, the degradation of the soul, unhappiness, etc. We probably all know the experience of atmapattam. You know the experience of atmapattam?
Yeah.
Say yes.
Yes.
Now say it enthusiastically.
Yes.
So this is home here. So there has to be an intervention. I was saying yesterday there should be some push, right, that allows one to help you over the threshold. I'm going to use this word that I like. This also manifestation of Krishna. We're going to call this the... I like this word. You've probably never heard it before.
Holding it sideways or
upwards.
So
yeah.
You have to point it down.
Like this.
You're doing this while you're talking, but cover it while you're talking. Yeah.
Okay. We just keep switching them off.
Yeah.
Okay, so here you have
I didn't get it wet enough. enough.
Sorry.
Okay, I can describe it with my voice, but it won't be as...
Oh, here.
Oh, awesome.
Oh, yay.
Don't get excited yet.
Save the day.
Yeah. Let us wait and see. So you have another manifestation.
Haribo.
Called the mystagogue. Have you ever heard this word before?
Mystagogue.
That's a cool word, right? You never heard this word before? Mystagogue means a teacher of mystery. Or a teacher of, like, mystic ways.
Is it an actual word?
It's an actual word.
It's G-O-G-U-E, isn't it?
You know this word?
Yeah.
Really?
Isn't it G-O-G-U-E?
I thought this was a word that no one's ever heard before. Okay.
Anyway.
I'm not going to change it. So you know what I'm trying to say.
I know what you're saying.
It is a teacher of mystery. Teacher of mystery. Mysterious ways that is able to push one over the threshold so you can go on the journey and return to come to home base. Mm-hmm. So the mystagogue, of course, can manifest as a guru, of course. That is a common way in which the mystagogue may appear. But the example I was giving yesterday was Lord Brahma, right? So the mystagogue for Lord Brahma was the sound of tapasya, right? He heard the sound tapas within himself, and that became the mystagogue that sent him over the threshold, right? Let me go back to his example. So Brahma, he wakes up in darkness. This is like the starting point. And he has a question about the nature of his existence, who he is, where does he come from. He sees he's on top of the lotus flower, and he begins trying to find out the root of that lotus flower, like empirically. Prabhupada's comment that he tried to understand within this system that he was already accustomed to. But that system was not sufficient for him to penetrate into the mystery of his origin. So then he heard the word tapas, and that became the mystagogue. So he went back atop the lotus, and he began to go on his quest, right? But that quest didn't involve any movement. That quest involved being still, right? So all quests, I want to share this quote because I like this quote a lot. I use it for the Dandavat Parikram. I'll just say it. The real journey of discovery, you know this one. I think it's Marcel Proust, I think. There's a famous book called In Search of Lost Time. The real voyage of discovery is not in seeing new landscapes, but in having new eyes.
Mm.
This is a very good quote. The real voyage of discovery is not in seeing new landscapes, but in getting new eyes. So ultimately, you can say that was an expansion of consciousness, right? So he goes on that quest. He sits on top of the lotus, and he does his meditation. Here he contemplates the Lord. I'm just summary. And then he comes back and he discovers he has an epiphany of God. That was the... I'm going to put 3911 in here. Yadiyadiya. That's his meditation. And then he gave the fruit. The vapu of the Lord appeared. And that vapu here represents the ideal. It was the ideal that was revealed in going on the journey. Okay, this is clear. Everyone has understanding. I want to erase this now. Is there...
The black one has the eraser on the end.
Also, Jai, what's the connection? One connection is you mentioned that Brahma here in tapas, and I fully been to the Nibbata, and Krishna tells to Brahma, I was the one saying that.
Oh, that's a nice
sound. So keep all the sound, and then you see a darshan of the one who say that sound. No? Like,
yeah.
Like in full circle.
So, it's full. Mm-hmm. So my Thunderbolt image was very good then.
Mm-hmm.
The Thunderbolt was going through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like my Thunderbolt, so I want to affirm myself. Yeah, another example I gave yesterday was Parikshit Maharaj, right? The mystagogue in his case was the curse of the Brahmin boy. That was another example, and that pushed him over the threshold of the Lizara house he left. Okay, so I want to... Y'all
are
got
you saying that the agitation is the mystagogue? What can be?
Yeah, it's part of it. The agitation first comes with the questions that disrupt the spirit.
Doesn't the agitation bring the question, or which way is it?
They're non-different. But also think about it experientially. You get into a sangha, for example, and when this starts coming up, the first questions that come up are doubts about the people, doubts about the philosophy, and then that leads to like questions that usually you hide inside. You don't say anything, but you hide them inside. So those questions end up just sitting there, but maybe you're not doing anything about it. That happens. So then in order to push you over the edge to do something about it, something major has to happen. So I'm saying that something major, it can be something major within yourself or something major outside that pushes you over the edge. So that something major, I'm calling the mystagogue here.
Inspiration.
It's kind of like, it could be an inspiration, but often it could be something else also. An event. An event that really disrupts you and makes you...
The pandemic.
Huh?
The pandemic.
It can be the pandemic. It could be anything. Betrayal of a guru. Betrayal of friends that you thought would always be there for you. Etc, etc. You know these stories very well, experientially. Okay, I want to do one more thing, and then we're going to do the exercise. So I just wanted to represent it diagrammatically so you can get a sense of the exercise you want to do. So this represents home base, and this represents, you know, the questions, the quest, the journey of return, like this. And then this is the journey of return. But now it's a little bit deeper than the first home. Now home is a little bit deeper. But after some time, home becomes status quo again.
Yeah.
And so now there's time for another disruption. So now it's home, but now it's a little bit deeper until it's time for another disruption. And if anything, we often hear spiritual life, the development of spiritual life discussed in sort of the most metaphysical terms. You know, the development of Shraddha, Anarsha Nivritti, Nishtha, Bhava, and Prema. That represents like the journey of the soul, you can say, in a linear fashion to describe. This is like a representation of the experience psychologically, what you're probably going to be going through psychologically. So you start home, you are forced on a journey, and you return to home, but a little bit deeper. And then it keeps happening two or three times, etc. So it's like a spiral motion. It's moving in a circle, or I don't know, but it's going a little bit deeper. Hopefully, it goes a little bit deeper if you're...
Like a tornado?
I'm thinking like a spiral. But maybe a tornado is like an F5 tornado. you end up in Oz. Or you end up finally in Kansas, you know, because I think a tornado also brings her back to Kansas, right?
Yes.
Back to home. That is also fitting. Okay. So this is clear then. Now everything is clear.
Rook, can I ask one question?
Yeah.
I'm curious, and maybe... But I feel like it does mean something. But it goes deeper than where you land, where you end. Is there some significance to that, like how you're drawing it?
Yeah, there's some significance. Suppose this is the Lord. How to draw?
Lightning bolt.
Well, it's not lightning. I'm thinking of like Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. This is Ananta Sage. Okay, this is Ananta Shesh, and the Lord is chilling. Ananta Shesh, right? And here's a lotus, here's a stem. This is very good. Mm-hmm. This is powerful artwork. I'm making a point. This is a lotus flower. So this was starting point home. Then he had this question about existence. He tried an empirical path that was not successful. He heard the word tapas, he went on the journey, and then returned. Of course, his process is told in summary. So they just went straight to him meeting the Lord, Garbhodakshaya, third canto, chapter 9. But they don't tell how this happens many times before you actually meet the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's like a deepening process towards meeting the Lord. That's what I want to represent here, diagrammatically. Brahma's story was told in summary, so they jump from here to here. Mm-hmm. So these steps are important for us because we're suffering.
I guess I was talking
about some solidarity.
I was curious just about because the lower arch before the return goes deeper than where the return is.
Well, the lower arch just represents like the sense of undoing that can happen when your status quo is being disrupted, right?
Yeah.
That's what we were talking yesterday. So when you go from here, if this is like the known world, then this is like the mystery or unknown world we were hearing yesterday from Mars.
I see. Yeah.
And it's like, I think I heard this from you, like descent.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, descent and undoing is darkness. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you may feel like despair, etc.
Yeah, totally.
Before there's a return.
Excavation.
An excavation. And then something comes out, like a new value system. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then that new value system becomes the new status quo for you. Yeah. And then it may happen again. Okay, now it's clear. Mm-hmm. Everything clear. Okay, now here's a fun exercise. I want you to represent in the form of... Well, there's a few things here. Where's the eraser at?
Brother Jiva.
Little guy.
Jay, one detail only. Even you were talking about newer status quo. You could say, okay, eventually he found the Lord.
Yeah.
You could say, okay, that's the end. No status quo is for Krishna.
Yeah.
But eventually that became a status quo for Brahma when he saw Krishna in Vrindavan and the Brahma Vimohana.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that, I saw it. And this is not how it is. So that's again another layer.
Another layer.
So
we'll always be bewildered.
Yeah.
Is that the story with Balaram and the little boys? Rama hid away for a year.
It also looks like a snake. Like Prema moves like a snake.
See, so many. My artwork is brilliant. So much of for myself. Okay, every one of you will have at least one, but I suspect many of you older devotees, you have at least two of these. So I want you to identify these in. Now this is the introspection. So the status quo here, we're going to start before you were a devotee. So you don't have to do too much detail of that, but this is before you were a devotee. And what were the questions that eventually led you to go on the quest of becoming a Hare Krishna? I was saying yesterday when we first started, there were a lot more passionate questions. They were more fervent and real for us, visceral. They were in our bodies and causing disturbance. And that caused us to cross the threshold into the HK movement. Yay! We're saved. And you got a new value system once you enter into this realm. You went through. I want you to also identify the questions. Maybe identify the mystagogue in this first stage. You know, what was it that allowed you to really take that step and risk joining the Hare Krishna movement? There must have been something that, it could have been a very simple thing, like a suggestion, or it could have been something major, like you lost something. What was the mystical that pushed you over that threshold? And then you can describe a little bit of your descent into the Hare Krishna movement, and what was the new value system that you got, the return, a little bit deeper. Oh, so everyone may be having at least this. I know some of you are a little bit newer, so this sort of experience is still fresh. Mm. But a lot of us now had another thing, isn't it? At least,
only two?
No, it can be. I have at least four. Yeah. I have at least four. So if you have four, you should try your best to talk about all four in notation form, simple note. And then we're going to share a little bit. That's the exercise. I'm not holding this space for myself. I wanted to do it. It's a group exercise. So at least you have two, minimum. But I know many of us have many more. So now you have the new value system that became the status quo. Then some new questions came up that started to vex you out of that. Doubts about the Hare Krishna movement, doubts about devotees, doubts about Krishna, doubts about am I in a cult? I've been hearing that one a lot lately, especially since all these documentaries are coming out and so on. Or am I in a cult? Did I actually join it? Whatever. What were those doubts that started to disrupt this new status quo? And then, probably, maybe you're in the middle of it or you've already passed it, some mystagogue that has pushed you over the edge of this. Push you over the edge here means maybe the release of the value system, which can include japa, can include the four regular principles, it can include faith in gurus, being dismantled, something that's pushed you over into this more unknown space. And now you find yourself here. And what's going on there? Maybe the new value hasn't come. Maybe it has come. So maybe you're just stuck here in this new... I'm sorry, this is not very good, but you're stuck here in this new space. So what is this space like? What does this space feel like? What is this space doing to you in terms of your value system, Hare Krishna value system and so on? What's going on with that? We want to talk about that a little bit here. Maybe you've already gone through this second stage and you came out with a new value system before it happened again. And so if you can represent, you can do as many, maybe no more than four. If you got 10, just leave it at four. I'm sorry, I did not really represent this well. That's why I did the first diagram first, just to give you a sense. I think, do you have a sense of the exercise though?
Mm-hmm.
You have the basic structure and that structure is moving like a spiral in deeper levels. So if you are very new, maybe you only have this first phase, that is enough. But for those of you who've been around for a minute or who grew up in the Hare Krishna movement, I know you have at least two. and maybe you have three or four. So you're trying to represent, this is obviously an introspection exercise. So you're like identifying major shifts that have happened in your journey. So we take a little time. What time is it now? It is now 6:30. So now we will take at least 20 minutes. Maybe at least 20. I'll pause the recording. It will take at least 20 minutes, maybe up to a half hour. At least you will come up with two of these, if not more. And then after that, the last hour, we will share and share space together. That's, I don't want, this is what I want to do today.